Good morning. Welcome to our show today, which is the first show in a three-part series. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll go up with four or five parts by the time we're finished. But anyway, this first show in the series is about real estate consulting in the real world, not the theoretical world, but the real world where we all live and breathe and get up every morning to make a living. As I was drafting up the outline for this show, I really struggled with where exactly to start. Do I start out by explaining exactly what real estate consulting is? Or do I dive right in with my original plan, which was to just tell you the first steps that I personally would take if I had recently made the decision to incorporate consulting into my real estate practice? I also wondered if maybe I should begin with a subtle sales pitch for the ACRE program, which, as you may know, I'm now the commander-in-chief of. I also struggled a little bit with identifying the potential audience. Who are you all out there today? Are you mostly already ACRES, accredited consultants in real estate? That's what ACRE stands for. But are most of you already enrolled in the ACRE program? You've already gone through the program and you're looking for guidance on putting what you learned into action. Or I wondered, okay, well, maybe a lot of you are not yet accredited consultants in real estate, but you're interested in possibly joining us. Or maybe most of you are just devoted SWSers who sign up for all our shows and show up, and you're here without a real serious interest in or knowledge of consulting, but decided to tune in anyway. Again, I am going to use the term ACRE throughout the show today, and that stands for Accredited Consultant in Real Estate, which is just a certification program that I took over about this time last year. And now I'm the commander-in-chief of it. It is a designation program that you can take if you want to. But that's what an ACRE is. I had lots of false starts, did a lot of pacing around my living room talking to myself, and here's how I decided to proceed with today's show. First, I will assure you that I will not be pitching the ACRE program to you, and that this show is in no way a cleverly disguised infomercial to get you to sign up for it. Okay. That said, of course, I'm going to mention it from time to time, and of course, if it's something that you'd like to pursue, that would be great. I'll tell you more about the program at the end of the show. I do think that I probably should do a little bit of an introduction to real estate consulting for those who aren't sure what it's all about, but I promise I will keep it relatively brief. Then we'll move on to what I said the show was about, which is the first steps of adding consulting to your real estate practice. So what is real estate consulting? Well, we define it at ACRE as, one, to take a consultative approach as opposed to a sales approach when working with clients, and two, to offer choices in the services provided and how those services can be paid for. Okay, let me say that again. First, to take a consultative approach when working with clients, and second, to offer choices in the services provided and how those services can be paid for. The first part of that definition, to take a consultative approach with clients, I'm hoping is the normal course of business for anyone who is drawn to the sell whistle philosophy of being the best real estate agent they can be, or as we like to say, being the best thing to ever happen to your client. We don't teach or preach slick closing techniques or objection busting strategies or any other cheesy nonsense around here. We encourage real estate professionals to be exactly that, professionals who are willing and able to put their clients' needs first, as they are contractually obligated to do, by the way, and to behave like intelligent adults who also respect the intelligence of their clients. In other words, when you work with your clients, you do so as someone whose goal is to truly help those clients reach their goals, not as a salesperson who is primarily concerned with bringing in a paycheck as quickly as possible. Okay, that said, though, let me make a little disclaimer before I continue. One of the early mantras of the ACRE program before I was involved was stop working for free. Now, I took issue with that promotional approach because I don't believe that we as real estate agents who work on a contingent commission arrangement are working for free. We're working on contingency, and there's a big difference. When you work under a contingent arrangement, which is inherently risky, you should be compensated for that risk. And under our traditional commission system, we are. So even when, you know, for those times when you put in hours and hours and hours of work with a client that results in a zero payday for you, you were not working for free. You were working on contingency. Now, that said, I do believe in being paid for my work, whether it's by contingent commission or a fee-based non-contingent structure. So I don't want you to interpret my comment earlier that you should put your clients' needs above your own as my saying that you're willing to serve your clients without the expectation that they will indeed pay you. No, I mean, I definitely work to be paid most of the time anyway, and I expect that you do too. So that leads me to the second part of the definition of consulting, which is to offer choices in the services we offer and how those services can be paid for. By the way, that's where we're going to focus our time today, on the second part, because again, I fully expect all of you to already approach your clients consultatively as your natural way of doing business. So what do we mean about offering choices? Okay, I'm going to use the word choice a lot today. So what do I mean by that exactly? Well, let me quote from the Acre website. A real estate consultant is a real estate practitioner who believes in offering real estate consumers transparent choices when it comes to the services they receive and how they pay for those services. A real estate consultant recognizes that the traditional real estate compensation structure of being paid a contingent fee based on the sales price of the product they sell does not always serve the best interests of the buyer or seller, nor for that matter, the best interests of the real estate practitioner. A real estate consultant also realizes that not all real estate consumers need or want to pay for the full package of services that our industry typically offers, and therefore offers alternative products and services to better fit the needs of each individual client. And finally, because a real estate consultant has the desire and ability to customize both his or her offerings and fees, he or she enjoys far more opportunities to serve the real estate needs of the consumers in his or her community. More services plus more potential clients equals more income potential. Okay, that was a mouthful, and hopefully you were able to follow most of it. That's how we define choice around here. Actually, I need to further define choice. Even in the narrow context of real estate consulting, there are a few different ways to define or to describe the concept of choice. One definition is to take it somewhat literally, that when you meet with a potential client, you literally offer them options or choices, plan A, plan B, or plan C, you know, both in the services that they can receive and how they can pay you for them. You present their options, plan A, plan B, plan C, whatever, and they pick the one that suits them. That's the literal definition of choice. However, there's another definition of choice that, in my mind, is equally as critical to real estate consulting, maybe even more so. And that's that you offer alternatives to the traditional real estate agent, real estate client model of working as a buyer agent or a seller agent from start to finish of a traditional real estate transaction and being paid only at the end with a contingent commission. Now, maybe in these choices you offer, these service and payment choices you offer, you're not offering literal choices, you know, plan A, plan B, or plan C, but rather additional services and payment arrangements that your typical real estate licensee does not offer. And we're going to talk about that more here in a little bit. All right, so all this talk of choices and options and alternatives, maybe that sounds mildly interesting to you, but are you thinking, okay, I need some examples. What exactly are you talking about? All right, I can do that. I'll give you a few real-world examples of what some choices or alternative services might look like in a real estate career. The first one I want to talk about is a very simple one, and many of you may already be familiar with it. That's the Share the Risk program that I offered my sellers in my last several years of selling real estate. Basically, when I would talk with a potential seller about listing their home, I offered them the option, the choice, to pay me an upfront fee at the time of listing in exchange for a reduction in the percentage that I charged them at closing. Okay, if they paid the upfront fee, they were offsetting my risk of not being paid, my out-of-pocket costs, and for some of my time, and so I rewarded them with a lower overall cost of sale. If they didn't want to pay the upfront fee, that was fine. I just charged them my full listing commission, and it was paid at closing like normal. Now, there was no variation in the services I offered under each plan. Both were full service, but if they selected the Share the Risk plan, most of my clients in the price range that I worked in Denver would see a reduction in their total cost of sale of about 3 times the upfront fee. So what I mean by that is, if let's say my upfront fee was $500, when we went to closing, they will have saved about $1,500 over what someone who didn't pay the upfront fee and just paid my full commission will have saved. So basically they paid, say, $500 upfront, and they tripled their money at the end. Okay, that was my seller share the risk program. And it is an example of offering alternative services and compensation options. Now, you can also do this with buyers, and some of our consultants do. Not all states allow you to, but most do. But what you can do is you offer the buyer the opportunity to double, triple, or even quadruple their investment by charging them, or by allowing them, actually, to pay part of your commission up front, and then you rebate some multiplier, whatever you decide to do, you pay them some multiplier of that number at closing in the form of a rebate. So, for example, if your business model says, I'll triple your money if you pay me, you know, some percentage up front or some amount up front, a buyer might say, okay, I'll pay you $1,000 up front, non-refundable, and then at closing you would rebate that buyer $3,000. Okay, obviously it's going to depend on the price range you're working at as to what those numbers look like. But, and not all states allow this, but in states that do, again, you're sharing the risk. The buyer is taking some of your risk, therefore you're rewarding them at the end with a lower overall fee. I'm really kind of intrigued by that option. We're not going to talk any more about that today. We probably will in a future show, but for now it's just an example, something to think about. Let me give you another real world example of an alternative service that you could offer. And this is a real world example from my own life. Last year, around this time, I got notice from one of my renters in Alabama that he was moving out. He'd been there for 5 years. I'd always thought he was going to buy the silly house, so it was quite a shock that when he told me he was moving out. So here I was. I had a rental property in an area where I don't live. I don't know anything about the market. I didn't know if I wanted to rent it again, didn't know if I wanted to sell it. If I was going to sell it, could I sell it as is, or would I need to renovate it? If I was going to rent it, how's the rental market? Would I need to renovate it, or could I rent it as is? I had a lot of questions about what I should do with this property. And I really needed someone with real estate expertise to be willing to sit down with me and go through my options without a stake in the decision that I made. You know, if I just, you know, called up, you know, a run-of-the-mill listing agent and said, come over here and tell me what my options are, well, they have a stake in what my decision is. They're going to want me to list the house to sell it because that's how they make the biggest paycheck. Okay, maybe they don't do rentals, so they don't really know that much about it, or maybe they don't want to do rentals. So, you know, the other thing I wanted from somebody was, if we decided to renovate, hey, do you know some people who could help me out with this? I needed someone to come in and consult with me about what I needed to do and help me get the process started, whether that was renting the house, renovating the house, selling the house, you know, whatever. And I realized that I would have been thrilled to have paid someone with local real estate expertise, access to the MLS, knowledge of the market, to come out and objectively walk me through my choices. I think it probably would have taken, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 hours of their time. Maybe I would have listed it, maybe I wouldn't have. But I would have been happy to have written a check for that agent's time to get the level of research that I wanted, the level of expertise that I wanted. I couldn't find anybody who could do that, and I muddled through on my own. But, again, this is an example of where if you can be flexible with your service offerings and your fees, there probably is a lot of business out there that right now you're either losing or you're just doing it sort of, you know, half-heartedly for free. Let's see. Let me give you one more example. And I could actually probably go on all day with examples. Now that since I've been working with the Acre program for the last year, I see examples everywhere. In fact, I'm going to be doing some real estate transactions here in the next year or two, which I'm going to give you an example. Personally, and in almost every single transaction, I would prefer to have someone do it consultatively with me as opposed to the traditional model. It's just making more sense. Anyway, so here's the deal. My husband and I, sometime in the next year or so, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, we want to buy a house on a lake up here in the Florida Panhandle. Well, I don't really know anything about the real estate market up here. I know there are a lot of lakes, but I really don't know anything about the market. I don't know anything about lakefront property, but I really do kind of want to get started now and get a feel for what my options are. But, of course, I feel bad contacting a real estate agent because there ain't no paycheck in that agent's future, you know, near future. I mean, it's at least a year out, probably more like two. But you know how you are when you start thinking about something like this. You want to go ahead and get started, right? So there is a guy locally who seems to be a lakefront expert, and I would really like to hire him to spend half a day with me and my husband, maybe showing us around the different, you know, the different communities that have lakes, giving us his opinion of the values, showing us some representative listings, you know, giving us community information. Maybe there's options we haven't thought of, or maybe he'll talk us out of lakefront property altogether because he knows something about it that we don't. But I would be delighted to pay a reasonable fee for his service so that, you know, I'm getting a service. I'm not hiring him to be my real estate agent 2 years from now. I want him to provide a professional service to me and share his expertise with me. I'm happy to pay him for that. Now, here's what I'm thinking, though. If you work in a resort market, or if you specialize in a highly desirable type of property, lakefront, or oceanfront, or slopeside, or downtown loft, or maybe, you know, like your office is in downtown Santa Fe, you know, in the historic part of downtown Santa Fe or somewhere cool like that. I'm guessing that you get a lot of looky-loos who stumble into your office when they're there on vacation or whatever, and they want to pick your brain and take up your time for free, right? Well, because most real estate agents haven't figured out how to charge non-contingently for their time, they either do all of this work for free and get frustrated about it, or they eventually burn out and just outright refuse to work with someone who isn't ready to buy right now. But I'm thinking you could come up with a package for a reasonable fee, a quality package for a reasonable upfront fee that might include a guided tour of the area with your commentary, some showings of representative listings, you know, market information, a Q&A session, you know, some sort of ongoing hand-holding. You could charge a fee for this, again, a reasonable fee. You could credit the fee at closing if they ever go to closing or not. If they never do go to closing, then the looky-loo, you know, you've still been paid for your time and your gas. And again, this is something I personally would be willing to pay for. If I was visiting Santa Fe and decided, you know, I could live here, this, or I could buy a vacation home here, this is really cool, I'd be happy to pay a real estate agent to cheerfully educate me on what's available, how much it costs, show me some stuff, get me ready to go. So I don't know. I think it's a win-win for everybody. But those are just a few examples. Ella's asking, why would you not use this local agent later? Do you not believe in spending 1 to 3 years with a client? That's a great question, and that's how our business model works right now. And I have been a proponent of the approach of, hey, you know, don't worry about, you know, just work with people. Don't worry about when the payday comes. You know, just, you know, do your job, and eventually you'll get paid for it most of the time. And I still believe in that to a degree. But I do think there's opportunity. Do I want to work with someone 1 to 3 years that might eventually buy? I mean, I'm willing to, but that's an awful lot of time to invest in a person who may or may not buy, you know, 3 years from now. You know, I do believe that a lot of people are going to be willing to compensate you for your time if you explain it politely, and, you know, with the understanding that, you know, you can reimburse that fee in the future if that's part of your business model. I don't know. I mean, the more I've thought about this from a consultant perspective, I think that a lot of consumers would be willing and perhaps even eager to pay a reasonable fee to get the objective advice that they want, to get the professional level of service that they want without the pressure, you know, without, you know, feeling like the salesperson is trying to sell them something. I don't know if that answers the question. You're asking if I would not use the local agent later. Oh, sure, I might use him if I ever buy. I mean, if I liked him, if he did a good job, I would probably use him. I'm not saying that I wouldn't use him, just that, you know, who knows what's going to happen 2 years from now. We may never buy this lakefront house. But, hey, if he does a good job, then, yeah, sure. Okay. Kim is asking a good question. Do you need the ACRE program to offer these kinds of alternative services? Oh, absolutely not. I mean, there is nothing about the ACRE program or any other consultant designation program. I think there's one or two other ones. There's nothing that says that you have to take a program and get a designation in order to offer these services. It's just a program that helps you develop your own consulting business plan to figure out what these services are you're going to offer and how you're going to charge for them. So, no, you do not have to take the program. If you can figure out how to do it yourself and you don't need, you know, a program or a course to help you through that, then absolutely no. Patty's asking, why would they pay for that when some agent would do it for free to get the business later? And that's a great question, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. And that's one of the biggest objections to the concept of charging non-contingently for your service is, why would somebody pay for it when they can get it for free? The answer to that is that nobody is going to pay for something they can truly get for free somewhere else. I mean, I wouldn't, unless one of two things is going on here. One is that you truly offer something special that's better than what they're getting for free down the street. So let me give you an example of that. But Erica Ramos does a lot of non-contingent work with HUD homes, and she charges people to work with them to write offers on HUD homes. And people balk at it. They say, I'm not paying you. The guy down the street will do it for free. And she says, okay, go to the guy down the street. They go to the guy down the street, and he doesn't return their calls. He doesn't do nearly as good of a job. He's not nearly as knowledgeable. He doesn't have the expertise that Erica has. They come back to Erica and say, all right, what do you charge? I'll pay your fee because you're worth it. Okay, that's one way you can charge. When you can charge for something that everyone else is, quote, unquote, giving away for free, if you're better than everyone else, I mean, that's certainly valid. Second, if you make it a good deal for the consumer, for the customer, make it something they're willing to pay for. Again, maybe because you offer a higher level of service, maybe because, like we talked about earlier, you have a share the risk program where they put a little bit of money forward and you reward them. But if you're truly comparing apples to apples, okay, I'm going to offer this service and I'm going to charge for it, and the guy down the street offers the exact same service, I'm going to charge for it and he's not, then no, that's not going to work. What you offer has to be special, unique, but that's not hard to do, okay? It's not that hard to be better than your competition, okay? It's not that hard to offer something that's a little unique, that's a little special. You know, when we're talking about this kind of resort market package, I think you could create something that is special. And I'm not saying you're going to charge $1,000 for it. You know, you're not going to charge, you know, but charge a reasonable fee. Make it special. Make it just a little bit better than what anybody else is going to do. And as long as you believe that it's a good deal for the consumer, and that's a key in this. If you believe what you're offering is fair, even a great deal for the consumer, then you'll be able to sell it. If you think you're just trying to get away with something, trying to get away with charging a fee for something that everyone else is giving for free, you won't sell it. You won't be able to. So part of the ACRE program is helping you figure out what you can put together, what services you can offer that you feel really good about, you know, that you're excited to offer because nobody else is offering this, and what you're offering is special, and that people will be willing, maybe even eager, to pay for it. So I don't know if that answers the question. Where was I? Oh, okay. So actually, what I really wanted to talk about today, what the title of today's show was, okay, so what are the first steps of adding real estate consulting to your practice? Okay, so let's go ahead and say, okay, well, gee, what are the first steps in doing this? Wait a minute, one more thing I should cover before I go there. And that's one of the objections to consulting, or one of the confusions about consulting, is that when we talk about incorporating real estate consulting into your business, we're talking about it as a supplement to your current model, not a replacement of it. Does that make sense? So if you decide to add, and that is the key word here, if you decide to add consulting to your business, that doesn't mean that you have to stop anything else that you're doing. Okay, it doesn't mean that we're asking you to replace your traditional business model of listing and selling homes and being paid a contingent commission, unless you want to, and some of our acres have. They don't charge contingent commissions at all. They do everything on a fee-based basis. But let's say that something I tell you today, just one thing sparks your interest and you go, ooh, I'd like to do that. That sounds like fun. I'm going to give you some ideas here in a minute. You could add that one service, that one choice, that one option to what you're doing now, and you wouldn't have to change a thing. Okay? So keep in mind, we're not asking you to change your business model. This is something you can add to it. Let's talk about the first steps. If I, Jennifer Allen Hagedorn, were going to fire up my real estate license here in the panhandle of Florida and go out and get me some real estate business, and I wanted to include real estate consulting in my business model, what would I do first? Okay, well, the first thing, and this wouldn't apply to me, of course, but the obvious first step would be to check out the Acre course. Now, again, I just answered the question of do you have to take the course to practice consulting? Of course not. There's no rule on the books anywhere that you have to have the Acre designation or any other designation to be a real estate consultant. But since you're here, and from what I saw on the webcast screen, it does seem to be something that some of you or most of you have at least considered. The new Acre course that I developed this year walks you through the process of putting your consulting business plan together so that at the end of the program, if you did all the work, you'll have a plan in place, so you should be pretty much ready to get started. That is the purpose of the Acre course, to get you from where you are today to the point that you could go out the next day and start offering your consulting services. But anyway, since we're talking about what I would do if I were going to go out and get myself some consulting business, and since I've already gone through the Acre course, since I actually created it, or the new version anyway, the first step on my list would be to commit myself to doing it, to commit to taking the steps necessary to make consulting happen in my business, to realizing that there will be barriers, there will be frustration, there will be confusion, but that it's something I believe in strongly enough to push through and get to the point where I'm comfortably, happily, and naturally talking about and promoting my real estate consulting services, because it is something new, okay? If you've never done consulting before, or offered, you know, alternative services and compensation arrangements, it's new. It's going to be uncomfortable. The questions I'm seeing coming across the webcast screen now are, you know, that'll never work. I don't see how it can work. I don't understand how it can work. Once you get it and you're like, whoa, that can work. It will work. Once you have that conviction, then a lot of these questions will answer themselves for you. But in order to make this work, because where I was going with that is once you've crossed that line and gone, oh yeah, this makes sense, you're going to run into people who are going to go, there's no way that's going to work. A lot of naysayers. Okay? And so you need to have that internal conviction that yes, this can work. Yes, it will work. I'm going to make it work, and I'm very, very excited about it. Okay? That would be my first step, is to sit quietly with myself and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this work. And it will, I promise you. But there will be barriers. Even if you're fully committed to doing this, there are going to be barriers to getting started, just like there will be for anything new or anything groundbreaking that you're trying to do. You might be asking yourself, if one of these first steps I'm getting ready to tell you about is to go ask for your broker's permission to offer consulting services. How many were thinking that? Okay, you probably were. Yes, you will need your broker's blessing if you're going to deviate from what your office traditionally offers and charges, because any money collected or contracts written must go through your broker. Okay, so should that be your first step? To, you know, stop by your broker's office, plop down in the chair, and ask her if she has any problem with your doing this real estate consulting gig? Personally, no. I don't believe this is the right approach unless your broker has already made it clear that she supports a consulting model, and there are brokers out there who do. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say this shouldn't be your first step? Well, because if you trot yourself into your broker's office before you've done your own pre-work, and you sit down and you ask her if she minds if you start doing some consulting work, you know what the answer is going to be? It's probably going to be no. Especially if you aren't able to make a coherent, persuasive proposal as to what exactly you have in mind and how you're going to make it happen. If I were a broker, I would, and somebody came to me and said, hey, I want to do some consulting. And I said, well, what do you mean and how are you going to do it? And they said, I don't know. I just want to do some consulting. I'd probably say no too. So, you know, I'm sitting there in my office up to my elbows in crises, and it's just not something I'm going to want to give a lot of thought to at the time. I know a lot of brokers have issues with consulting. They think it's a discounting scheme or an MLS-only approach. And so if you're not prepared to have that conversation with a broker and come to them with a plan, again, chances are they're going to say no. So my point is, again, that one of the very first steps in implementing a consulting or adding consulting to your business is to commit to making it happen. And one of the barriers that you are probably going to run into, or you may run into, may very well be your managing broker, especially if you work at a large franchise who takes their orders from a corporate office. Now, I don't say this to discourage you, but it's possible that if your broker is adamantly opposed to your offering any additional services or alternative services and compensations and compensation choices, you may want to consider changing brokers, which is not the end of the world. Okay? But let's not jump to that conclusion yet. If you come to your broker with a plan, she may very well be intrigued enough to be willing to discuss it. But to approach your broker without a plan, I think you're going to be dead in the water. So what I would do instead of going to my broker, what I would do, and this is one of the projects in the ACRE program, is first to sit down in a quiet spot with a legal pad and paper and pencil, that's how I think, and brainstorm a list of all the ways I can think of to serve potential clients with my real estate expertise, beyond, above and beyond the traditional model of listing homes and working with buyers from start to finish, getting paid at the end with a contingent commission. Okay, so just sit down and make a list of everything you can think of. Now, as you're making this list, okay, don't edit the list, okay? Don't look at each item and go, oh, I don't know if I would want to do that, or, ooh, how would I market that, or, gosh, how would I charge for that? Gosh, I don't know. Just write down as many ideas as you can come up with without running them through that filter. You know, you could probably come up with probably 10 or 20 different ways you can use your real estate expertise outside of the traditional model, doing something that somebody might be willing to pay you to do and that nobody else, frankly, is offering. I'm going to read you a list of some ideas I came up with. I think there's like 20 things on this list, so don't try to write them all down. I'm just going to read them to you quickly to give you some ideas of services you could offer that are not traditionally offered by real estate agents. Okay, ready? All right. Offering a shared risk arrangement to traditional home sellers, like I described earlier. Okay, you don't change your service offerings, just the manner in which they pay you. You share the risk with them. Same thing with home buyers. Like we talked about earlier, a share the risk program where in exchange for non-refundable, non-contingent, they get a rebate at the end. For sale by owners, who all they want is a professional objective market analysis, not a sales pitch, a professional objective market analysis. For sale by owners who already have a buyer and they want to pay someone to help them prepare, explain, and execute the proper contracts and disclosures. Or maybe they want help with the contract to closing period, but they already have their buyer. Homeowners, people who own their home, who are considering a significant renovation, but they don't want to over-improve. They need help deciding whether they should move or improve, but don't want to listen to a sales pitch by a listing agent. They want objective advice. They need help deciding whether they should sell as is or renovate, like I did last year. I wanted somebody to help me make that decision, again, somebody objective. A homeowner who is trying to decide whether they should sell now or wait till later, again, somebody to objectively come in and help them make that decision. Here's one, homeowners who want help interviewing for a listing agent. There are some real estate agents who are kind of tired of working with listings and with buyers and would like to work purely consultatively. So I don't know, maybe there's a service there. You help them pick the right listing agent for them. Landlords who need help deciding whether to re-rent or sell. Objective, again. Owners of expired listings who would like an objective analysis of what went wrong. Not a sales pitch, an objective analysis of what went wrong. Homeowners who have already found a property and want contract to closing assistance. They've already found their property, sort of the other side of the FSBO. potential home buyers who are considering buying, but they want objective advice without pressure to buy now. Here's one I've done. You could hire yourself out to licensed real estate agents who need another agent to list their homes for various reasons. I did this a few years ago. In Denver, or in Colorado anyway, my E&O insurance, my errors and omissions insurance, did not cover me if I was listing my own investment property. So I hired another real estate agent to list it for me. I paid her a fairly minimal upfront fee, but it was non-contingent. I did all the work. I did a lot of the work, but she did the listing and did some work. But basically, I just hired her, paid her a flat fee to list the property for me and do some of the work. You could also hire yourself out to licensed real estate agents who need outside expertise in their transaction, and you have that expertise, like short sales or REOs or estate sales. You could hire yourself to a licensed real estate agent on a consulting basis to just help them through their own transaction. A big one, investors who find their own properties to renovate, and they need a real estate expert on their team to be involved as they need them. They don't need you to find them the properties. They probably don't even need you to contract on the properties, but they need you on their team. I think that's all I had on my list. Okay. So I don't know if any of those appealed to you. If you were listening to this, go, oh, yeah, I could do that. And you're saying, hey, but everybody else does it for free. I don't think there was one thing on that list that real estate agents typically do for free. Maybe they do pieces and parts of it. But an awful lot of those things we might do for free in hopes of getting the listing, in hopes of getting the buyer. And our potential customers know that. We're going in with an agenda. What if you went in as a professional service and did a better job than just a thinly disguised sales pitch, but actually a professional level job of it? Now, hopefully when you're making your own list, or maybe when you were listening to my list, some of the ideas that you come up with really do strike you as, oh my gosh, that sounds like fun, or that sounds like something I could really market. I want to start doing this right now. So once you've made your list, and hopefully, again, some of these occurred to you as like, hey, that looks pretty cool. I'd like to do that. Just take a few of your ideas, maybe two or three, and run with those. Come up with a full description of your service. Start thinking of how you would charge for it and how you would market it. If you're like me, you'd probably pace around your house talking to yourself about it, role-playing how you would explain it to a customer and to your broker. And then when you're doing that, if you're like me, you'll discover the flaws in your plan, and then you kind of head back to the drawing board and figure those out. And I don't know about you, but I love that stuff. Okay, I mean, I got into real estate because I wanted to run my own business. And so to me, coming up with a new business model, new services beyond, you know, so many real estate agents, they don't know, they feel themselves that they're a commodity, that what they offer is just like what everybody else offers, except maybe their sign is prettier than the other guy's sign. But when you come up with choices, when you come up with alternatives, when you come up with special services, it really does give you something to differentiate yourself. My point is here that you're not trying to completely revamp your business model, or you're not trying to add a whole new menu of services all at one time. Just come up with a few, maybe even just one. But come up with one, two, or three that excite you and start working through the details of how you'd actually put them into play. Now, personally, if I were doing this from that list that I just read you, here are the three that would turn me on. First one, no question, expired listings, what went wrong analysis. I would love to do that. That's the one that's the most exciting to me. The buyer and seller sharing the risk, I think that's a no-brainer. I mean, I already did it, and it worked beautifully. I did it with sellers. I didn't do it with buyers. I didn't know you could do it with buyers. I definitely do that. That's easy. And then probably the FSBO contract to closing service package. I would probably also, I did a lot of investor work, and I think I'd probably want to figure out a way to hire myself out to investors as sort of their on-team consultant. I think that would be a nice, consistent source of business. Let me talk about marketing your consulting services here for a minute. I'm not going to talk about it very long, but let me just talk about one aspect of marketing your consulting. As I envision my own consulting business, I'm thinking that you would get a lot of consulting business serendipitously. And what I mean by that is that you're out there doing your thing, and you run into people who could really use the assistance of someone with real estate experience, but they don't need a listing or buyer agent because they're not buying or selling. Now, these people you're running into serendipitously probably are not going to fall neatly into the service offerings that you've come up with. But if you stay flexible and creative, I think you can snag an awful lot of their business just due to your new mindset that you have more to offer the public than just listing and buying services. Now, you know, once you've put together your one or two or three specific consulting services, you'll want to market those for sure. But, and that's beyond the scope of today's show, but I just want to toss out the idea that once you get into a consulting mindset, an alternative choice option mindset, I think you'll find yourself running into business all the time that's always been there, but you just didn't see it, or even if you saw it, you didn't have a way to get it. So now what would I do? I've committed to myself that I'm going to consult. I've created some alternative services and compensation options. I'm all revved up about doing this. Is now the time to approach my broker? Yeah, probably is. You'll want to schedule a time with your broker, come in prepared with as much detail as possible, and as good an attitude about it all as you can muster up. Don't go in expecting to be turned down. You never know. If you're excited about your consulting business plan, if it makes sense to you financially and otherwise, your broker may be excited about it, and it might make sense to her too. Now, your broker's probably going to have questions and concerns that didn't occur to you, like, you know, how do we account for all this, and, you know, what paperwork's going to be required, and is this even legal? In some states, do restrict the services that you can offer and how you get paid for them. Most don't, but a handful of states do. So your broker may have some legitimate concerns and questions, and, you know, so it may be a process of going through it. But if you go in with a plan, I think there's a very good chance your broker will at least be intrigued enough to discuss it. Now, what if they aren't? What if you came in with a beautiful plan and your broker says, nah, absolutely not? If they're completely shut down to the idea of offering any sort of creative or alternative service and compensation, this is where that commitment to yourself comes in. You might want to consider changing brokers. There may even be a consulting-friendly broker in your area. You can check that out on the ACRE website. We have an ACRE locator map, and the markers there, I believe in green, are managing brokers. There might be one in your area. Maybe this is the time to go out on your own. Even if you decide not to do consulting, it may be something to consider. Honestly, once I tasted the freedom and flexibility of working first at 100% RE/MAX that let me do my own thing, as long as it was legal, and then having my own company, personally, and this was after I had plenty of experience, but personally, I don't think I could go back to a place that tells me how to run my business, what I can charge, what services I can offer. I did. Again, I went into real estate to be my own boss, and once I made that truly happen, it was a whole lot more fun than being somewhere where they, you know, they had more control over how I ran my business. Anyway, my point is that changing brokers or becoming your own broker is, you know, changing brokers is not the end of the world. People think it's this crazy, you know, difficult thing to do. It really isn't that hard. Or getting your own broker's license, which, again, is going to vary by state as to whether or not you can do that. If you haven't already, there is a free introductory course called Is Real Estate Consulting Right for You? You can take that. It's free. Probably take you, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes. Okay, this came in earlier. Patty's asking, curious on how much per hour can be charged. Also, I think the public may not like our current system, but it seems to be stuck in not paying until they get their desired results. Okay, two questions here. How much per hour can you charge? Well, that's always a tough question when we do shows about consulting is, well, how much can I charge? And we can't answer that question, not only because, of course, it's an antitrust issue, but also because that is going to vary by a gazillion different factors. Your market, the local economy, what is it that you're doing? Most consultants, to my knowledge, don't literally charge by the hour. Okay. They're not, you know, they don't charge like accountants. They come up with package prices. Okay. So they're not literally charging by the hour in most cases, although you certainly can. Part of the ACRE course is to come up with your hourly rate. Now, whether you ever charge anybody by the hour or not, you still come up with an hourly rate just to give you sort of a ballpark idea of, you know, let's say if you were going to charge for, here's an example, but you're going to charge for a professional level CMA for, you know, an investor or somebody, you know, and you think that's going to take you 3 hours. Okay. So if you have an hourly rate in your mind, then you can apply that to that and say, okay, my CMA, service is going to cost X. Now, I'm personally actually not a big fan of charging for CMAs because I do think that's something that people can pretty much get for free. So that's probably not a service I would do, but it's just an example. So, you know, I can't answer the question, what do you charge per hour? I actually did a poll at one point and asked our acres, and I had, you know, figures, you know, from $20 to $250. It really depends on you, your economy, your self-confidence, your expertise. What do you feel you could, quote-unquote, sell if you were going to charge by the hour? And that's something else we talk about in the acre course. The public may not like our current system, but seems to be stuck in not paying until they get their desired results. If you're going to charge non-contingently, which is definitely going against the grain, it needs to make sense to the consumer. Okay, you're not going to be able to say, well, I'm tired of working for free, therefore you're going to pay me non-contingently. They're probably going to say, see ya, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to do it this way. But if you can explain it in a coherent fashion that makes sense to them, they'll consider it. And let me give you an example. I'm glad you asked this question. My husband, who doesn't know anything about real estate, or he didn't until he met me, we've just been married a few years, he had a situation several years ago where he listed his home for a fairly high percentage, I thought, and the house sold in a day or two. The agent double-ended it, so she ended up getting the whole thing, and he was very resentful of that. He's like, she didn't do anything, you know? I mean, she shows up, she puts a sign in the yard, the next day she sells it to her own buyer, and she made, I don't remember what it was, but, you know, some amount of money that he felt was unfair, okay, or unearned. I said, okay, let's just say that number was $10,000. Let's just say she made $10,000. I said, okay, honey, what if she had come to you and said, I'll give you a choice. You can pay me $2,500 up front, non-contingently, non-refundable, or you can pay me contingently at closing, the $10,000. Your choice. I presented that to my husband. I said, which would you take? Would you take the $10,000 option, which is where the real estate agent is taking all the risk of not ever getting paid, or would you be willing to take some of that risk and pay her the $2,500 up front in order to save $7,500? And he thought about that, and he didn't know. He didn't know the answer. I mean, he was kind of like, wow, I don't know. But his mind shifted from she made too much money to, that actually makes some sense. So I don't know if that your proposal, your proposition, your explanation needs to make sense to the consumer. And if it does, if you come up with a plan, with choices that make sense, then they might say, wow, that's really cool. Let me give you another quick example. I've already talked about this example, but when I first started offering my upfront marketing fee option, and I told a couple people about it, they looked at me like I was nuts. Like, nobody's going to pay you upfront. And at first, it was kind of hard for me to explain to people, to sellers, because I didn't have the confidence that people would actually get it. But the first few sellers that I presented it to, they thought it was the coolest thing ever. You know, I pay you $500 up front and I save $1,500 on the backside. Cool. I'll do that deal all day long. And so once they realized the benefit in it for them, I mean, almost all of my sellers took that deal, and the ones who didn't wished they could have, but they didn't have the $500 up front. So it made sense to them, and so they did it. Kim's liking the resort tour package. I think that's great. Chandra is asking, how much would you charge for that half-day session? Again, I can't really answer that question specifically because, you know, people get all excited about antitrust. But here's the thing. Let's say that you want to do the resort market tour package, the half-a-day tour of the resort area, blah, blah, blah. What would you pay for that? In your market, what would you pay for that? And this is something we talk about in the ACRE program when you're setting your own rates and fees. Would you pay $100 for it? Probably. Would you pay $500 for it? I don't know. Would you pay $400 for it? What would you as a consumer pay for this particular service package? And that's a great place to start because, one, you need to be able to sell it. And if you're charging something you wouldn't pay, you'd never be able to sell it. That, to me, is a great place to start when setting your rates and fees. What would I pay me? What would I pay somebody with my level of expertise, work ethic, service quality to provide this service? You can always start low so that you have the confidence that you're offering one heck of a deal. hey, if it works, you can always raise your prices. So you say, let's say you would all day long pay $100 for someone to spend a half a day with you. All day long you'd pay that. That's a no-brainer. Maybe you start there. You do it a couple times. You know, it's like, wow, that's a no-brainer. You go, okay, well, maybe I'll try, you know, I'll raise my price to $200. And, again, you're feeling pretty good about that. That's a good deal. I can sell that all day long. You'll find it. You'll find the spot. That's the beautiful thing about running your own business is, you know, you can raise your prices when you want to. Let's see. Brandon's asking, is there anyone currently pursuing this model for rentals? In my area, there's a huge need for residential tenant representation or helping renters, but few agents will help because the compensation can be as low as $50. We actually do have an acre who does a lot of rentals, and she's doing a very successful business with it. Okay, here's a good question. I think that many consumers would not be willing to pay a fee for upfront information. I can picture them looking taken aback if you proposed a consulting fee structure and instead just saying, I only had a few questions. If you can't or won't, maybe someone else in the office would be interested in helping me. How would you handle that scenario? Well, if someone just has a few questions, I'll answer them. You know, I'm not going to, you know, if somebody's going to walk into my office, I'm not going to say, by the way, you know, write me a check for $250 before I'm going to, you know, spend any time with you. That's not really, that's not the approach that I suggest that you take. And I would be definitely taken aback if I called up this lakefront expert and said, you know, hey, can I pick your brain for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes about lakefront properties? If he said, well, you know, no, send me a check and then maybe we'll talk. Yeah, I would be irritated by that. It's not our business model. But, you know, when you're going deeper than that, you know, when you're talking about committing, you know, committing a significant amount of time, I don't think, I mean, you're not going to want to lead probably my time, you know, I charge $100 an hour and are you okay with that? Because our business model in real estate is to do an awful lot for free. So, you know, yeah, you're going to give some stuff away. We all do that. I'm not saying that you aren't helpful. I'm not saying that you don't do, quote, unquote, free consulting with people when they come in. You want to build rapport with people. You want to demonstrate your expertise. You know, give them a reason to want to continue to work with you. And the best way I think you can do that is not to shove a compensation agreement in front of their face, but to demonstrate that you do know your stuff, you do have a good work ethic, and the more persuasive you are in that, the more likely they're going to want to be to continue working with you. And if you have a reasonable fee for that, I think that's all right. Great question about how does NAR, the National Association of Realtors, view ACRE. If you go to the ACRE website and you go to the FAQs, you'll see my opinion on how NAR views ACRE. I personally have never been all that interested in seeking approval from the National Association of Realtors or any other association of realtors for anything that I've done. Frankly, the business model we have right now is seriously flawed. And so, and I think that our, you know, some of our realtor associations have been a part of that. So I'm not interested in getting their approval because I think what we're doing is groundbreaking. I think it's pushing beyond the comfort level of the realtor associations. I don't want or feel that I need to grovel before any other association to create the programs that I've created. Philip's asking, how does agency work with this? How does agency figure into consulting? It really depends on what it is you're doing. You know, there may be, you know, specific service packages, say when you're working with a for sale by owner contract to closing, that you would not be an agent. You would be a transaction broker or whatever you have in your state that is not an agent. And again, there may be limitations in your own state agency laws as to how you can address that. You know, sometimes you're going to be an agent, you're going to take agency. Other times you won't. You know, it would just be, in Colorado, we called it a transaction broker. And so I can't answer that because it's going to be different for every state. But in some situations, you would take agency. In some, you wouldn't. I live in Colorado and have been told that I cannot practice consulting as I cannot accept any real estate-related funds before closing. Is this correct? No. I mean, I practiced in Colorado, and I'm not an attorney, but I'm pretty sure that's not true. I did it. Let's see. In high-priced markets where traditional selling results in commissions that equate to a very high hourly rate, won't offering consultative package pricing unintentionally discount the regular commission? How do you handle that? That's a great question, but we're talking about apples and oranges. If a contingent commission factors in significant risk, whether that's a high-priced market or a low-priced market. So if, let's say, your commission on a deal, let's just say, is $10,000, a chunk of that, a big chunk of that, is the risk you're taking by agreeing to work without any guarantee of payment. Let's say that $10,000 commission, for example, I'm just throwing this number up in the air, but I'm going to say 60% of that at least is the risk, is paying you for that risk of not getting paid for your work. Okay? So $6,000 of that. Now, if you were to say, let's just say, charge $4,000 in some form as a non-contingent commission, are you, quote-unquote, losing money? Well, if all of your deals, every single one of them, every single listing you get, every single buyer you work with goes to closing and you get paid, every single one, then, yeah, I guess you would be losing money if you did some non-contingent work. Do they all go to closing? Well, I'm guessing if you're like most people, they don't. So it's apples and oranges. It's the $10,000 paycheck is the contingent, risky, high-risk option. The, say, $4,000, I'm just making these numbers up, the $4,000 is a guaranteed, not as risky, non-contingent payment. And it's not the same thing. Now, let me answer that question then, I mean, in another way. And I may get some grief for this, but in high-priced markets, let's say, you know, somewhere in California where, you know, houses are $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $10 million, and you charge what many would consider to be a, you know, a traditional, typical commission. And that commission is in the tens of thousands of dollars. I've always struggled with that. I personally don't believe that my real estate services are worth tens of thousands of dollars just because the price of the home is astronomical. When I sell a $500,000 home versus a $1 million home, did I do twice as much work, take on twice as much risk on the $1 million home? Did I? I don't think so. Why am I making twice as much money? Let's put that a different way. What if I sell a $1 million home and a $500,000 home? Did I do half as much work, take on half as much risk on the $500,000 home as I did on the $1 million home? No, I don't think I did. I think I did essentially the same job on both. Why did I get paid twice as much on the other? And this is one of the elephants in the room of our traditional commission structure, is we get paid based on the price of the product, which really has absolutely nothing to do with the value of our service, and that's a topic for a different day. It's never made sense for me. Okay, Mary's saying, if I spend time with renters as a flat fee rate or per hour, would it take time away from my selling and listing? Is it worth the time? I'm having the argument in my head. Yeah, I guess you're going to have to answer that question yourself is, you know, do I want to work with renters? One. If I do, is the compensation for working with renters worth it? And if it's not, then I guess you've answered your question, okay? And I think that is an issue that people who do property management have to struggle with is, you know, is this, you know, this brain damage really worth it? And I think, you know, I don't know the answer to that. Well, that looks like all of the questions that have come in. If you do have other questions for me that I did not answer today, do feel free to send me some questions. Do explore the ACRE website. There's an FAQ page there. The Is Real Estate Consulting Right for You course will answer a lot of the questions that you may have had today. I appreciate all of you being here today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.